Hello everyone, welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Broadcast. Today we begin a new series and the title is, Who is Jesus? Many people encountered Jesus the man when he walked on the earth, but they did not all see him in the same way. There were many different opinions about him. Matthew recorded this key conversation between Jesus and his disciples, recorded in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 17, and I'll read all texts from the New Living Translation. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Well, they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." Then he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being." There have been many, many human opinions about who Jesus is. I'm sure most of us have heard people tell us who they think he is. A prophet, a guru, a thinker, a reformer, a rebel, a deceiver, even a madman, a lunatic who thought he was God. Let's learn from this conversation. If we listen to human opinions about who Jesus is, we will hear conflicting ideas and some wrong ones. We need to rather learn from God. So we're going to look to the Bible for answers that we can trust. The Bible teaches us a great deal about who Jesus is. So I'd like us to do a little studying together to learn more about our Lord and Savior, in order to better answer that all-important question, who is Jesus? Today, we're going to see Jesus as the Word. The Apostle John began his account of Jesus by introducing him to us as the Word. Listen to his words, John chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 to 4, 14 and 18. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. Verse 14. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is himself God is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. Wow, what a way to begin your presentation of Jesus. I think John wanted to make sure that all of his readers would know from the very beginning of his book that we are reading about someone who is much, much more than another holy man. John presents Jesus as the Word who became human and lived amongst us on earth. In other words, he's telling us that Jesus existed before he was conceived as a baby, before he was born. The Word existed in the beginning, he says. And the Word was not just existent or present in the beginning. When God said, "Let there be," and spoke the universe into being, he spoke the universe into being through the Word. The Word gave everything life and light. So when we think about Jesus, we should think about much, much more than just a man who walked the earth. We should think about our eternal Creator. Now, Jesus gave a glimpse of his eternal pre-existence in a conversation with some people who were questioning him in the temple, recorded in John chapter 8, verses 54 to 58. You say he is our God, but you don't even know him. I know him. If I said otherwise, I would be as great a liar as you. But I do know him and obey him. Your father Abraham rejoiced as he looked forward to my coming. He saw it and was glad. The people said, you aren't even 50 years old. How can you say you've seen Abraham? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was even born, I am. After these words, the people wanted to stone Jesus for blasphemy. Not only did he claim pre-existence, he used the words, I am, the same words that God used to introduce himself to Moses. Jesus was not just a man who knew God. He was the eternal Word, the agent of creation, who had come to us as a man. He was the Word become flesh, the Son of God. How does all this work? I think these things are way beyond our comprehension. We can grasp something of this, but we must remember that God's ways are far higher than ours. Theologians teach us the doctrine of the Trinity, that God is the Father, God is the Son, and God is the Spirit, one God in three persons. I think this is really helpful, but in the end, I think it is naive to think that our minds can fully comprehend the very nature of God. What we can do is know that Jesus is much, much more than any other human. He has a divine, eternal nature. He pre-existed creation as the Word. The universe was created through him. He is part of that indescribable nature of God. So, when we look at the accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John telling us all about Jesus, we're reading much, much more than human history. We are reading accounts of God coming to man as man. As John put it in our first text in verse 18, no one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is himself God is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. So do you want to know what God is like? Then read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and pay careful attention to what Jesus said and did. Jesus reveals God to us. Towards the end of his earthly ministry, Jesus had a long conversation with his disciples about their eternal destiny. In that conversation, we read these words, John chapter 14, verses 6 to 10. Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Verse 8, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus replied, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. So friends, when we see Jesus through the Gospels, we see God the Father through God the Son, through the Word, become human. You know, if God was to reveal himself to you and I in all of his glory, we wouldn't be able to cope with it or comprehend it. Jesus has revealed God to us in a way that we can cope with and at least partly comprehend. Isn't that amazing grace? We couldn't come to God in his glory, so he came to us in our humanity. So friends, when we read about Jesus, when we think about Jesus, when we talk about Jesus, let's remember that this is a man like no other. This is God making himself known to us. This is God inviting us into a relationship with him. Back to human opinions for a moment. What do we do with all these conflicting opinions about Jesus? In particular, what do we do with the opinions that say that Jesus was just another man? Converted atheist and academic C.S. Lewis came to this conclusion about these opinions, written in his book Mere Christianity. I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as the great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon. Or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. Strong words. Now the disciple Thomas, who sadly was made famous for doubting Jesus, came to the same sort of conclusion as he came face to face with the risen Jesus. John chapter 20, verses 26 to 28. 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you, he said. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless anymore. Believe. My Lord and my God, Thomas exclaimed. I sincerely hope that Thomas becomes more famous for these words than for his earlier doubts. This, I believe, is the correct conclusion for today's look at Jesus. My Lord and my God. When we look at Jesus, we look at the Word of creation, who, in spite of his glorious divine nature, came to earth to make God known to man and to reconcile man to God. He said and did many good things, but he is so much more than a great teacher or spiritual leader. He is Lord and God. I close with these words from Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 11. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue can declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is Jesus, the Word, God who came to us as a man to make God known to us and to reconcile us to himself. One day, every knee will bow before Jesus. One day, every tongue will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. But let's not wait for that one day. Let's believe in him now. Let's surrender to him now. Let's join in with the worship of heaven now. Let's declare to him with Thomas, my Lord and my God. Amen.